a lot of things going on. And I appreciate all that you all do, because this group does a lot. So I just wanted to say that. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11, lesson chapter 8, March the 9th, 2025. And I've done the announcement, so let's just go to Hebrews chapter 11. And before we get there, I'm going to do a little review. Everybody, if you have a handout, because I always want to see if anybody's been sleeping the week before, so I ask questions, right? And so review is, faith is a possession that we have that contains the promises that we expect to receive based on what? God's Word. All right, we're getting this down. You know, if anything else through this series on faith, we ought to be able to give people a definition of faith, right? We saw last week that it took Jacob his whole life for his faith to develop fully. And during this time, he continued to make serious mistakes. But God continued to stay true and fulfill all the promises that he had given to him. Now, that's a reassurance to all of us. You know, I mess up all the time, and there's things like, man, I should not be doing this. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And then turn around, I do it. And I'm like, God should just drop kick me out, because I am just, you know, I blow things all the time. And I'm like, and I look at Jacob, and I'm like, okay, he's a big schemer, and he's a narcissist, and it's all about him. Everything goes on. And if God can take care of him, he can certainly take care of me, because I'm not as bad as he is.
I'm not as bad in the same areas.
But I'd probably be a close second, so let's put it that way. So Hebrews 11:22. So we're going to read the next guy on our list. Hebrews 11:22 says, by faith, Joseph, so who's Joseph? He's Jacob's, one of his sons, right? So we're just kind of going down the line. Now, faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Or did I say that backwards? Yeah, I did, didn't I? So, by faith, the guy we talked about last week, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, go to 22. By faith, Joseph, his son now, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. So it kind of skips over everything in Joseph's life also, and just lists the very last. And yet, he could have listed a lot more things about Joseph's faith than just this. And I've been thinking about that. Why did he only mention the last? Well, I'll tell you about it a little bit later on. But let's continue on. So Joseph, you know, he's the man that had a coat of many colors, right? You know, we know the story. It's really nice to teach you guys because you know the Bible. You know, I don't have to explain everything. And then the way I talk and explain things, it's probably good for you all that you do know the Bible. Because the way I explain stuff. And you're like, well, he said this, but I know he really means this. But that's true. And I just did that a minute ago. I was trying to confuse Joseph and Jacob together. But Joseph, He mentions this here. He goes, when he was dying, let's go back to 22, he gave commandment concerning his bones. And we're going to go look at that. But Joseph said, hey, to the people, to his sons when he died, and not only to his sons, but to the rest of the tribe and to all the rest of the people, he said, when I die, when you guys go back to the land, take my bones with you. You know, that's probably the least of me thinking. I'm not going to tell my family, hey, when I die, make sure you take my bones with you. I don't think we'll say that. I don't even really care where they bury me, honestly. You know, you can dig a hole and put me in a backyard, in a pine box. You don't even need a pine box. Because, you know, it doesn't make a difference. I know where I'm going, so, okay. Just don't do it before I'm dead. But here's the deal. Joseph was one of the first Zionists. And how many of you know what a Zionist is? So let me give you the definition. A Zionist is the national movement for the return of the Jewish people to their homeland and to their sovereign rule of the land of Israel. Now that started actually in the late 1800s and is still going on today. There are still Jewish people all over the world that are going back to Israel And they really don't know why, other than this is my homeland, and I just have a feeling I need to get back there. Pat Lee and I was doing a lady's house, doing a tile kitchen splash for this lady, and we found out she's Jewish, and so we're asking her some questions. She was very open. And finally she told me, she said, "You need to talk to my sister. She could answer all these questions for you." Because we asked her some hard questions. "You're Jewish, how come they do this?" And she goes, "You need to talk to my sister." And we're like, "Oh, did your sister live here in Kansas City?" And she goes, "She did, but they moved back to Israel because they wanted to go back to the homeland." And so I personally have heard people say that because they want to get back to Israel because they're believing in the Old Testament. Okay. And so God just puts that in them to go back. You know, the last thing in the Old Testament for a Jewish person is to go back in Second Chronicles. And we just studied Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah took a group of people. Ezra took a group of people. Zerubbabel took a people from Babylon and he went back to Israel, right, after being 70 years in captivity. Now, not all of them did. A lot of them were happy where they were. But there was something that some of them are like, "No, we got to get back to our homeland. We got to get back to worshiping our God, and we can do it better in Jerusalem, in the capital where the temple was, even though they had destroyed the temple." So we've studied Nehemiah. They went back to help rebuild the wall. Zerubbabel got the temple built. Ezra came in, got the law going, and Nehemiah came in and got everybody straightened out. Remember, he was the enforcer. But anyway, Joseph was really one of the first ones, because he says, when I die and when you guys go back to the land, take my bones with you. I can't physically be there, but I want you to take my bones with you. So that's what this verse is about, okay? So he never forgot his homeland, and he never forgot I think you have a blank here. He never forgot the dreams that God had given him. Dreams goes into blank. So I'm going to kind of skip over the first two dreams that he has. Next week we're going to deal with those a little bit more in detail. But I'm looking at what all happened to Joseph, and why was it at the end of his life he made this statement? Okay. So before we get there, and so we're going to go back to Genesis, but before we get there, let's stop at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 9 through 13. And this is kind of giving you guys how I'm doing this study. Because if you've watched what I'm doing, we're reading Hebrews, right? And we're reading about these men. But then what do? We go back in the Bible to where God lays their story out. And that's basically what we're doing here. Verse 9. Let's start in verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We can't even believe and fathom what God has for us in store. We haven't the foggiest idea. We're like, "Well, when we get to heaven, we're all going to sit on a cloud and do a harp." No. We're going to be with Christ. We're going to be with him. We're going to have, you know, all those perks that I've talked about. Eternal life, or a home in heaven, a mansion, all those, new body, all those things. Why? Because we're going to be with Christ. And what do you think Christ is going to be doing? He's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. You think he's done doing things? He's just getting started. And we're going to be with him. So that's going to be amazing. That's what this verse talks about. "But God hath revealed them to us," some of those actually, "by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of the world," which is of God. Let me say that right. "But the Spirit which is of God," that's the Holy Spirit, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us." It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us God's Word. We saw that in Discipleship 1, right? And that's what the Bible says. Verse 13. "Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what is the definition of spiritual things there? It's the book. So you got to compare scripture with scripture. That's our verse to get scripture with scripture. So we're reading Hebrews, but then we're going back and comparing the scripture in the Old Testament. Okay? So if you want to do a Bible study, that's one way to do it. Compare scripture with scripture. And one scripture may not give you all the details. Kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to read them all. And when you compare scripture with scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you what the Word says, it'll give you exactly what you need. So that's what we've been doing. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 50. Now we're going to look at the verse that we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Genesis chapter 50. Let me get there. 50. The very last chapter of Genesis. And we're going to look at the very end of that chapter. Verses 24. Is that right? Yes. It says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, if I die, or when I..." Man, I am missing this big time today. I need to go get some more coffee. Maybe that's a problem. 24. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die," he's getting ready to, "and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you." He didn't say he might. He said he will surely visit you, "and you shall carry up my bones from hence." And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Okay, but yet, several hundred years later, the children of Israel took his body with them when they left. How did they know to do that? Because for every generation, that had been passed along. You know, Joseph, you know, that story, how we got to Egypt, and all that went down. They probably told all their children. So when the children got ready to leave, they're like, and I wonder who gave the command. I wonder if it was Moses or Aaron or somebody. They're like, wait a minute, before we leave, we got to go get Joseph's bones, because we got to take them with us. We gave him a promise. So that's the verse we're talking about here. And the reason Joseph says that is because he believed that God was going to take him back to Israel. He said, so when you go, like I said, 300 years later or whatever, take my bones with you. Please, promise me you'll take my bones with you. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. And so, but I want to talk about today, Joseph standing with others. Now this should hit home with all of us. You know, one thing I like to see in the Bible, and we saw it last week with Jacob, his father. You know, he's a real rascal. He did some things he shouldn't have done, but God always came through for him. And he'll come through for us. And so Joseph, what was his standing with other people? First of all, with his family. So turn back to Genesis chapter 37. And again, I'm not going to be exhausted with this study. We could take several months in studying this out, but you guys pretty well have a handle on this story by now. And so we're just going to hit the cliff notes, the high notes of it. Genesis chapter 37, we're going to look at how Joseph's standing with others were, including, number here, his family. So we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Genesis 37, 1 through 11. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." So he's kind of telling on dad about his brothers not doing well. Verse 3. "Now Israel," that's Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brothers envied him, and his father observed the same. Okay, so now we kind of have a story here. We got the beginning of the story of his standing with his father and with his brothers. And so his, under point A, his father, you have a blank there. What did his father think of him? He loved him more than all his children. Okay. And then B, his brothers hated him. Oh man, we've gone from good to bad right there, right? Because dad, what do you, goes in, loved him, goes in your next blank more, and because of his dreams, and because of his words. So I want you to think about this. His brothers hated him, reason number one, because dad loved him more. That kind of sounds like an entertainment group that I knew a few years ago. I'm getting a little older now, but many of you may know this. It was two brothers that were entertainers. You'd see, they were jokesters, they were comedians. They would sing. I think one of them played a banjo, and they would, you'd see them like on the Johnny Carson show, and they kind of had this same attitude. You guys know the people I'm talking about? That's Mother's Brothers. And remember, one of them would always say what?
Dad loves you more than
no, it was Mom, but kind of the same idea. She goes, Mom always did love like you better than me. That was part of his joke, or part of his skit. And people would laugh at it, you know, and I'm like, but bottom line is that happens all the time. And, you know, our kids see that. So, you know, that's one thing my wife and I have been trying to be very careful with our kids, you know, especially like at Christmas or birthdays or anything like that. We got to try to treat them all the same. We don't want one of them thinking, you know, we like one better than the other. And usually, and I'm on tape here, usually this is how it goes. And I've watched this in families all across. Usually there's one of the kids that's just kind of a joker. So you got to just help that kid more. Well, the rest of the kids see that and they go, you know, this isn't fair. I'm doing my stuff. I'm doing my work. I'm doing this. And yet it seems like so-and-so over here, they're not pulling their weight. They're always in trouble and Mom and Dad takes care of them. Kind of like Mom likes them better. We got to watch that because it'll come back and bite us. Because I see it right here in the Bible. People say, oh, the Bible's irrelevant. I can't learn anything from the Bible. Read it. Because if you just get that, go, ooh, okay, so I've got some little kids, I better treat them both the same, okay? In fact, our son-in-law, we try to treat him just as well as we do one of our, you know, one of our real kids. In fact, we just treat him that way. You're part of the family. We're going to, you know, again, Christmas, birthdays, whatever, we're going to treat you just like you're our son. In fact, that's what we try to. But yet, there's some problems going on here. But, there was three things. They hated their brother because, number one, dad loved him more because of his dreams and because of his, and don't miss this, his words. Okay? And I'm going to stop here and say that's three strikes and he's out, man. Three strikes against Joseph. Okay? But I will say this. Joseph is one of the greatest types in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can find. David, King David is a type of Christ. Joseph is a type of Christ. And so what I want you to think, when we study Joseph out here, or whenever you read through the stories, what are the things that are similar in his life that we see in Jesus' life? Okay? And so these guys So don't take my word on it. Study it out yourself, okay? And so they, his brothers decide they're going to get rid of him. So they throw him in a pit. Okay, so for all of you that have dealings with your brothers and sisters, you know, we all have them, right? We all have our issues. I've never had any of them throw me in a pit or threaten to kill me, you know. So, you know, not so bad. So they throw him in a pit, and then they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Oh, my goodness. Who else was sold for some silver?
Jesus
was, back in Matthew 26:15, but they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Here they sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, and then they go and make up a great big lie to tell their father. Okay? Now that's cold. That's bad. Whenever we think we have issues with our brothers and sisters, and I'm talking to all of us, just think about Joseph. They haven't tried, as far as I know, they haven't tried to kill me yet, but maybe I just haven't looked hard enough. Oh well. So his standing with his family, dad loves him, brothers hate him. And he has how many brothers?
11.
That's a lot of brothers to want to hate you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he has one sister, right? So, I don't know, didn't say anything about the sister, but the brothers don't like him. So maybe his sister liked him, but dad did, but oh well. And what's his standing with the Midianites? Well, the Midianites was the group that, you know, the brothers sold him to, right? And so, to them, he was just a piece of merchandise. Merchandise goes in your blank. And you think about, how can people be so cruel to other people? I got a handout Randy Foster gave me an article that was written in Time Magazine 20 years ago about Sierra Leone. And Doug Cox gave it to me. I read this article, and I don't know how long ago he had read it, but it affected him. And it was talking about they were having a civil war 20 years ago in Sierra Leone, and the rebels, if they didn't like you, they'd cut your hands off. And they did it all over Sierra Leone. There was people that was on, the rebels would catch you, they'd just cut your hands off. How terrible would that be? And there's one of the stories the guy wrote about was, just kill me because I can't do anything without my hands. I can't provide for my family without my hands. I'll starve, just kill me. But that was what they did. And it's like, how can people be that cruel? And yet, even today, we have human traffickers. They had them back here. So Joseph was a victim to human traffickers with these Midianites. Because, you know, they didn't have to buy him, you know. And so, our next one, number three, is what's his standing with Potiphar? Well, we know the story. I'm not going to go back and read it. But, you know, he was bought to be a servant in Potiphar's house. And if you really study up who this guy Potiphar was, anybody tell me who Potiphar actually was? He had an office with the Pharaoh. He was like the guy that's in charge of the prison, but more important, when you study it out, you'll find out that he was the head executioner for Pharaoh himself. And I'm like, no wonder Joseph had an idea that I better be good to this guy because he's the head executioner down here. Okay? But he does. It seems like everything Joseph does always seems he does what's right. Okay, so he was bought to be a servant in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar realized that everything that Joseph did seem to prosper. I think if you have a blank, prosper goes in the blank.
And the word seemed has to be double E, because otherwise it's to sew up something.
I see it. Okay. Yes, wrong word spelling. But he seemed to prosper. Okay? And he was put in total charge of Potiphar's house. So he must have thought a lot of this guy. And yet, again, we know the story. Things are going good with Joseph. Now he's head of Potiphar's house. But then his wife accuses him of attempted rape. Now again, guy doing everything what's right. Did he have a gripe with the Lord? I'm sure he did. I'm like, I'd be there. Lord, I'm doing everything that's right. And I keep getting in the neck. What is going on here? Kind of sounds like our lives today, doesn't it? You seem to do, you're doing your job, you're going to church, you're serving the Lord, you're tithing, you're serving in the Lord, and it seems like we get it in the neck all the time. Not any different than Joseph. In fact, Joseph's probably worse. So he's accused of attempted rape and he's put in prison. Okay, there's a lie, another lie that's taken place, and he's thrown in prison. So now he has to deal with the keeper of the prison. What's his relationship with him? What's his standing with him? Well, under A, he found favor with the keeper of the prison. So, again, wherever he goes, even though it seems to get worse, it seems like God blesses him. Okay, God is still in charge. And it kind of reminds me, he finds favor with the keeper of the prison. You know, we studied Esther in here about a year ago. And remember, she found favor with a guy named Haggai. He was the keeper of the women for the king of Persia. And he found favor with her, right? And remember, he kind of put her to the top of the list, the ones that was going to go into the king. And so, you guys remember the story? Okay. All right. So, I got to throw a Bible thing in here. Because that's what we've studied, right? Esther's name was her Babylonian name, right? Esther? What was her Jewish name? What was it?
Hadassah.
Okay. I didn't know if anybody would get that. You get a star today, Gary. I wish I had a candy bar. I'd give you that. Oh, well. But no, I just throw that in for free. So, and she did not read this because she would have caught my word seen. Okay. So, okay. She would have caught it. But I'm like,
I've heard one of my favorite books, so that's why I knew.
Okay. So I just thought I'd throw that. But it sounds a lot like that. It's like, you know, she's in a bad spot, you know, and yet she found favor. Here's Joseph. He's in a bad spot, and yet the Lord's with him. He finds favor with the guy in charge of the prison. And everything, he was put in charge of the people under him in the prison. So this guy running the prison is like, I'm just going to put Joseph in charge. I can sit back and just kind of take it easy for a while. And everything that he did there, he prospered. But then, what was his relationship with the butler and the baker? Sounds like a nursery rhyme, doesn't it? The butler and the baker. Well, you know, we know the story. They both had dreams, right? And Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream. So interpretation goes in your blind. Number 5. The butler is restored, but what did he say would happen to the baker?
His head will be lifted up.
Yeah, he goes, your head's going to get chopped. And that happened, didn't it? Okay. But yet the butler forgot about him and didn't realize he was going to put in a good word to the Pharaoh after he got out, but he never did. So again, Joseph's sitting there in prison and he's like, okay, God, I know the butler's got back to the Pharaoh, but how come I'm still here? So all through this, I mean, Joseph could have whined like a baby, but I don't know if he did, but it's not recorded. Okay, and so what was his relationship with Pharaoh? Well, again, we know the story. Joseph interpreted his dream and was put in charge. Charge goes in your blank of the entire nation because everything that Joseph did seemed to prosper. Okay, Joseph became the number 2 person in Egypt. Now, a lot like Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, and yet he is God. So, but I mean, he's right in there with him. So that's goes back with, you know, being a type of Christ. He comes from, you know, just being a man to the number 2 person in charge. As a result, Joseph saved the people from starvation, including his brethren. So the ones whose brothers got rid of him. They were going to kill him. Then they sold him. Ends up being the guy that God uses to save them. Boy, talk about ironic, right? And so what was Joseph's relationship with the Lord? You know, we don't see a whole lot of communication in the Bible going back and forth. But we know that Joseph had a relationship with the Lord from the very beginning. He already had a special relationship with the Lord. That's another reason why his brethren didn't like him. Because I said, we haven't looked at those first two dreams that he gave him back with his... We haven't really talked about what took place there. So let's look at these dreams for just a little bit. So his first dream that we see is back in Genesis 37, 5 through 8. So let's look at that. We're already there. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. And I think I've read this, but let's read it again. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they're kind of like, no way, Jose. At this point, and they hated him yet the more, right? For his dreams and for his words. So they're like, you think you're going to reign over us? Who do you think you are? And yet what happened? That's what happened in Egypt, right? So that one was fulfilled. So let's look at the second dream. Okay. In 37, I think I got my verses wrong. Let's look at 9, start in verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother? So now it goes a little farther. I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth. And so the second dream here, like I said, we're going to deal with next week. But that dream hasn't fully taken place yet. Okay? I'm going to look more at the third dream. The third dream's with the butler and the baker. Okay? So move over to Genesis chapter 40. In Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 23, and I think I'll just kind of go through both of these two dreams real quickly. Starting in verse 5. 37, Genesis 40, 1 through 23. Okay. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to interpretation of his dream, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the word of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Okay, so did he have a relationship with God at that point? Yeah, he wouldn't have said that otherwise. He says, tell them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner when thou wast butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of bakements for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and thou shalt hang on a tree, and the bird shall eat the flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler among his butlership again, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to him, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So again, I'm kind of rehashing the story here. Apparently, he forgave the butler, but making the Pharaoh a bad cake, he couldn't get over. I don't know what it was, but there was something he did that hacked him off, and he didn't restore him, right? And so those dreams, you know, only God could have given Joseph the dream. That's my point I'm trying to make. Okay? And so, and then we get to Pharaoh's dream, Genesis 41, 14 through 45. And for lack of time, I'm not going to go through that. But yet he tells Pharaoh, he goes, there is a God in heaven that can tell this dream to you, basically. He goes, he gave credit to God. Okay? So in your next blank, Joseph never forgot the Lord in all his trials, and he gave credit to God for the interpretation of the dreams. Which tells me again, he had a relationship with the Lord. Okay? In all his trials, he still prospered. It goes in your next blank. Even through the setbacks. He saw a partial fulfillment of the first two dreams. And he came to realize that all that had happened to him for harm, that God had orchestrated it and then used it for good. Okay? In fact, I think I'm going to stop right there, because I just don't have enough time to finish this. But that's the point I'm really going to make next week, and we'll back up and look at this. God used everything in his life that had been bad. He turned it into good. God does the same thing with us. And so, let me read you this while you're putting away your stuff, and then we'll call it a day. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 28, this is what it says, and many of you know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. When you have a relationship with the Lord, no matter what happens to you, even if it's not good, God will take it and use it for your good. So, you know, we fret about all these things that happen to us, things that we have no control over. And yet, God will use it for our good. So that should give us confidence. That should build our faith to rely upon Him, because God always comes through. Always, always, always. So let's pray and we'll go from there. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your book. We thank you for everything in your book, with the stories we love, Lord, learning the stories, especially in about the people in Hebrews chapter 11 with Jacob, with Joseph. And Lord, I thank you for this story of Joseph, because everything that seemed to be that happened to him for evil, you turned it and used it for good in his life, Lord. And Lord, I know that the things in our life, you will take the things that are bad and turn it around for our good. And so we praise you for that. We ask your guidance and blessing on that, and help us to remember that when we're going through trials and things going on in our life, to just depend upon you and know that you will turn it for our good. And so we just thank you for that, and we just pray you give us a good rest of the day. Pray for Pastor Jeff as he preaches the message, that we would hear it, and we just give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. So next week we'll finish that up and we'll get back into that second dream that he had, and we're going to see exactly what was going on in that dream.